This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
I think that the technology here is the same. I mean, you wouldn't use Wi-Fi to do your lighting control. You could, theoretically, just like you could use a meat cleaver to slice bread or peel your carrots, but you're more likely to peel your finger off. Wi-Fi is great for some things. Ethernet is great for some things. Zigbee filled that missing hole in the wireless portfolio for us.
This is Brad from Rocky Mountain Voices, and I'm here at Control 4 today with John Yoon, the VP of Marketing, and Wally Barnum, who's on the technical team. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
John, we've talked about smart homes, and I know you have a fairly good opinion of what a smart home needs to include. Can you describe that again?
Sure. At Control 4, we like to think of a smart home being able to do three very fundamental things that a not smart home or an average home, a dumb home, if you will. We hate to use the word dumb. But a regular home can't do or doesn't do. The first piece is that a smart home has to be aware of itself and of its environment. It has to know and be able to communicate that awareness inside the home. So I now have to know what time it is. So if I'm turning on lights, I have to know how long a light has been on. I have to know if the TV is playing, the other aspects of the home. And so I have a huge requirement in my smart home to have an ability to communicate these pieces of data to a master controller, to one another, so that I can be coordinated. The other two elements of a smart home, I think you guys covered in a different podcast, they are, once I'm aware, that's the first piece, I have to be able then to communicate my awareness to the outside world. So I have to be able to tell you, Brad, as my homeowner, when certain things are happening that you want to know about. And then the third final hurdle is that I have to be able to respond to commands from you, either locally in the house, or if you happen to be halfway around the world in Jakarta, and you say, well, you know, I sense that there's a water, I got a water notification, I want to go in and check, turn on my IP camera, oh, it's just it's nothing to worry about, or hey, I want to shut off my water main, or something along those lines. You have to be able to respond to commands. So I have to be able to know how I am, I have to be able to communicate how I am to you, and I have to be able to understand when you tell me to do something and be able to do that. And those are the sort of the three elements of what a smart home, we think what a smart home should be. And Wally and I are really excited about Zigbee because that's really what enables part number one.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit because Zigbee. Wally, talk to people about Zigbee again, refresh their memories, what it really is and where is it at in the marketplace?
Zigbee is an industry standard that a bunch of industry players have gotten together and they've said, we want to make a way for devices to be able to talk to each other using wireless radios. We want it to be low power, we want it to be cheap, and we want things to interoperate. One of the key things about Zigbee is that it's a standard amongst companies and there's ways that you certify your products that they will interoperate. In the future, when lots of companies are making Zigbee devices, you can say, I can buy a Zigbee light bulb from one company and a Zigbee light switch from another company, and they will work together. There's that whole branding of the big Z on it that will give you that assurance. The wireless part of it is what really makes it plausible for home automation to work for the mass market. In the old days, the rich guys would go out and they'd have these home automation guys come to their house and they would run miles and miles and miles of wires from the basement to every little light switch and every little clock radio and every little user interface in the wall. And they could afford that. And they would have these gee whiz bang houses that nobody except the upper crust could do. With wireless, all of a sudden there's no new wires, is exactly like it says. And the third key component about Zigbee is that it's a mesh networking topology. So if you're used to sitting in your house, you've got your computer on your lap, you're surfing the net, and it doesn't work. And all of a sudden, I gotta move around a little bit to get a good signal. With the mesh networking, every node that wants to send a message to another node has multiple ways to get to that node. So there's a high level of redundancy when nodes want to talk to each other. We found in actual deployments that Zigbee is, frankly, much more robust than we expected.
And we had high expectations, too.
Yeah. In previous lives, you know, I've done wireless things for little embedded nodes, and, you know, it was tough. But Zigbee did a lot of things right. They built it on a IEEE standard, 802.15.4. It's a direct sequence spread spectrum technology, so it handles a lot of the multipath issues and stuff. By building on that base, what they call a MAC and a PHY layer, which basically handles all the really low-level bits of how I operate this radio and how the energy gets spewed out into the ether. They built on a good solid base, and then they built a routing layer and an application layer on top of it, and it came up with this platform that's works quite well.
The one thing we talked about here for a second was the wires versus wireless. The wires was really something you must have had to build at the time of building the home.
Oh no, Brad, you could actually have guys come into your house, tear out all your drywall, camp out for 30 days, track drywall dust into every crevice of your home, and sure, you could do that. You don't have the stomach. I don't have the stomach for that. So
I don't think my wife would allow that.
No, you know, there are no spouses that are that tolerant or patient. So you could do it. Even in new construction, people say, hey, we love the fact that Zigbee can go in without having to pull any wires. Because even if I'm building a new house, look, if I'm a production builder, if I'm a builder of what Wally said, of broad market homes, not the super, super duper expensive custom houses, but you know, houses that normal people could afford, except for in the Bay Area, because those are all very expensive, of course. You take and you ask the builder or his electrician, look, when you're running that Romex, that 12-gauge or 16-gauge Romex to the light switch, I want you now to every place you do that, run a low-voltage control line. That guy's going to look at you and say, you know, you're going to double the cost of what I'm going to put in. This is insane. That's twice as much stuff that I have to punch down. I'm not a low-voltage specialist. You can hire somebody else. It's a hassle. Zigbee makes that all go away.
What about the neighbor's microwave? Does that interfere with Zigbee?
If it does, then your neighbor's got a really illegal microwave. I mean, a good analogy, Brad, is that, hey, a lot of cars drive on the freeway and pretty fast. We know, and the Zigbee guys knew, that 2.4 gigahertz is an unlicensed chunk of spectrum, which means that it's up for grabs for anybody who's willing to play within the rules. Anyone who's got a driver's license can basically be on the freeway. You know you're going to be in some heavy traffic, so you have to basically design your system. And I think that's the reason. When Wally mentions that it's an IEEE 802.15.4 standard, I mean, that sounds like gibberish to anybody who's not in the technical arena, but this is a standard that a lot of different companies, Freescale, Ember, TI, a lot of good semiconductor companies are doing, and they're doing it right. They're doing it the right way. And the cool thing for us is that just the same way that people know Wi-Fi today, or just the same way that people talk about Bluetooth headsets today, and 10 years ago they didn't, we believe that Zigbee will attain that level of consumer awareness. Because when you buy a Bluetooth headset, you know you have to have a Bluetooth phone. And when you buy a Wi-Fi access point, you know you have to have Wi-Fi in your notebook. And people understand that. And when they buy those things, they say, oh, great, you know, my Xbox does Wi-Fi. Okay, I'm okay with that. And they feel comfortable making that decision. And they, if you want to get into the geek speak of it, of course, you know, we can have arguments about 802.15.4 and how it plays with 802.11g or the pre-N standards, et cetera, et cetera. And Wally can spew more acronyms and three-letter abbreviations than anyone I know. But the point of it is, from a consumer standpoint, it's easy. It's a standard. Lots of companies make it, and it really, really works. It's incredible.
It's something that people are going to learn more and more about, like Wi-Fi. How are you guys promoting Zigbee as part of that overall experience?
Other than the fact that we ship a Zigbee radio built into practically every single one of our devices, every single one of our light switches, our remote controls has a Zigbee radio. We are attending Zigbee meetings. We are doing a lot at CES and other trade shows to raise the awareness of Zigbee. We're participating in events like this, for example, just at a grassroots level to raise the awareness of people. People who are familiar with these other standards, I think, will be able to readily appreciate and understand that doing a standard and doing it right takes time.
Well, Wally, there's probably all kinds of standards out there. Why Zigbee?
Well, first, we narrow it down. We want wireless for the whole retrofit story. And just even the new construction story, wireless is just better if it works. The great thing about wireless is it's great when it works. The bad thing is if it doesn't work all the time, then you don't think it's great anymore. So we had a high expectation, a high bar for it to pass. And we looked at some other wireless stuff. One of them's like the Z-Wave guys. We looked at that, and frankly, that kind of stuff, it's nice for the products that they make, but it wouldn't be suitable for our product line. We found that their chips just weren't capable enough to do our products. The price differential was negligible. And then the baseline technology, we talked about kind of the 802.15.4 base layer, the MAC and the FireLayer. They're not using that. They kind of have a homegrown kind of approach to it. We really wanted to go with a standards-based solution. You know, if you were to tally up all the brain power that's going into Zigbee, that's what we want to leverage. We can't invent this stuff, and we can't depend on any proprietary solution from a technical standpoint, not the least a business standpoint. It's kind of like back in the early days of Wi-Fi, John worked at a big company that did it, and so did I. And back in those days, you had a notebook that had a Wi-Fi card, and people would look at you and go, wow, that wireless stuff really works. Now you just know it. Everybody in the airports got their laptops or their PDAs open, their Wi-Fi, and there's an expected level of performance. Zigbee will be like that.
Zigbee already is like that from the standpoint that we have thousands and thousands of homes that are running all of their light switches and thermostats and even the remote control. It looks like an infrared remote. That's the funniest thing. You get somebody to come into your house and you give them the remote and they still feel like they have to point it at the TV. In reality, what's happening is that a Zigbee signal is being transmitted from the remote to the controller and the network understands. And that's how, when we talk about what's the first part of being smart, being aware, that's how the home knows. Hey, somebody's in the family room watching a TV. Zigbee already today, from our perspective, is a very, very good base foundational layer, foundational technology that we rely on a daily basis. All of our, as I mentioned before, our light switches, our dimmers, our keypads, a lot of our control devices, all of our controllers have Zigbee capability. And they also talk Ethernet. They also talk Wi-Fi. And those two technologies are good for other things. For example, if I wanted to listen to music, Zigbee is not well suited for that because you're transferring large files. For that requirement, a technology like a wireless, Wi-Fi, or 802.3, Ethernet, wired Ethernet, 100 megabit Ethernet, that's more suitable. And so wherever we go, though, one of the rules that we had, as Wally mentioned, was it's got to be standards-based, because at the end of the day, a standards-based solution means that there'll be multiple players in the space and that you'll be able to buy a Zigbee device to put into your Control 4 home that we didn't make, for example. And you, just like you may buy a Motorola Bluetooth phone and buy a Plantronics Bluetooth headset and have the expectation those two will sync up and work fine. And if you like the Plantronics, go for it, man. There's no reason why you shouldn't. And that's the level of comfort that you should get from an open standard, an IEEE standard that multiple manufacturers can build to and understand. And yeah, it takes a little bit of time sort of to get everyone on the same page and to hammer it through. But in the end, just like Wi-Fi, it's absolutely worth it. My brother is a cook. He likes to cook. It's his passion and his hobby. And he's saying, look, you can't just buy one good knife. You have to have a knife for this purpose and for that purpose. And I think that the technology here is the same. I mean, you wouldn't use Wi-Fi to do your lighting control. You could, theoretically, just like you could use a meat cleaver to slice bread or peel your carrots, but you're more likely to peel your finger off. Wi-Fi is great for some things. Ethernet is great for some things. Zigbee filled that missing hole in the wireless portfolio for us. It plugged that low cost, low power, and very modest data throughput. Let's face it, a dimmer doesn't have to tell the controller, you know, 50 pages worth of information. Hey, you're on, you're off, you're ramping up, you're ramping down, and vice versa. It's very, very easy to understand.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, people are learning about Zigbee today by listening to this podcast. Is there other information out there, Wally, that you could recommend that they read? I mean, I'm sure they're not going to want to go to the IEEE website. Is there any consumer-based stuff?
Our website would be the number one stopping shop for everybody, www.control4.com. And then there's a Zigbee website, which is www.zigbee.org.
That's Z-I-G-B-E-E.
Wally and John, thanks a lot. That's been very educational. I personally will get out there and learn a little bit more about Zigbee because it's something I should be reading about. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, no problem, Brad. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.